We're on Chav Tes Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yossi b'Rav Chanina. There was a story. Rabbi Yossi b'Rav Chanina rose to Tevel. They saw him being Tevel in the mikvah. But they didn't know im l'kirov lo yadin. They didn't know as he being Tevel because he was Raya Kari. Im lo haker gufo, or it was to cool his body off. In other words, he was a, what's his name? This was during he was in the middle of Avelos, obviously. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a problem, right? So the question was, is he cooling off his body and there's no Isser of Rechitza in cold water during Avelos? That's why he did it. Or is it what? Or perhaps he had a tefillah which he had to do.
But either way, it was mutter to do. What's the point?
It was mutter. No question it was mutter. They didn't know why he was being mutter. Let's see.
The Gemara is going to say.
Okay. So the Gemara says, Hari Rabba Behain Tanya. So there's a certain brice based on this, which he brought a Hurrah from. Hari Rabacha and the Gemara doesn't speak it out. The Mefarshim say that this really doesn't belong here. There's a brice in Yuma that says, I think it's in Yuma. Let me just check. Where is it? It's in Yuma 8:1. It says that a person is able to go to greet his Rebbe on Yom Kippur, even if the water reaches his neck. Okay. And he can bathe his feet on Yom Kippur if they become dirty. So Rebbe Rabba went ahead and ruled in accordance with that brisa, which is totally not quoted here. You just have to know that brisa exists someplace else. And he was, this is one of the strange things about learning Yerushalmi. It's like there's this brisa which isn't being quoted, and we're supposed to somehow know that that's what this is talking about. I don't know how they, you have to be Mamish and Novi to be able to learn this Yerushalmi. Same thing is true if someone was coming from a journey. His feet were he had aching feet. You can bathe them on water with water. So this is talking about Yom Kippur. Now, in the bottom, he brings various different things. It's actually very the Gemara in Tainus Gimel. I looked it up. It's all kinds of various opinions over there. It's very confusing. The way the Haredim quotes the Gemara, it's really strange. If you look at the bottom line of the page, the Haredim, he says, Raglav Chaos Koavos, Poligabavli Parakama de Tanios, the pun of Yoda Varaglov Shori Lahachitsan, Afilo Bechamen, Afilo Belotsar. I don't know, to say that you could wash your face, your hands, and your feet, even the hot water, even when there's no tsar, I don't know what he's talking about. If he's talking about...
You must be talking about just a regular tonus.
Right, I mean, a regular tinus he's talking about?
That's
here we're not talking about a regular tinus. Here we're talking about Yom Kippur. I don't know.
That's in Yerushalmi.
Maybe that's... Yeah.
But in tinus, I think you must be talking about a regular tinus.
Yeah. It could be that's the shot. Okay. Whatever. Anyway. Tony Avel Umanudo Shahaya Mahakum Derek. Someone is in Avelos or someone is in Kherim. So now they both have very similar Isurim. Someone's in Kherim has very similar Isurim as well as like an oval. They can both wear leather shoes because while they're traveling, obviously wearing, you know, slippers while you're traveling is not going to be very gishmak as you're walking on stones. It's just not maisa. So you could wear leather. When they come to town, they should take off the shoes so people shouldn't see them walking around. Same thing is true with Tisha B'Av, came in time to Tzibur. It's mutter to travel with shoes. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch, it even brings a heter. If you're going among Goyim and they're going to make fun of you, you're allowed to wear leather shoes in that case as well. Okay. Tony,
I think it says that you should put in maybe some pebbles or something in your shoes so that you don't feel so comfortable.
Oh, yeah? I don't remember that. Tony, it says, again, we're on 29A2. On the right side of the page, Tony, if it's a place where the custom was to say hello to Avelim on Shabbos, Shalom, you're allowed to be Shoyal. Now, on the bottom, he brings it to some like it's Tanoim, whether there's one Shita that holds, there's no Avelis whatsoever on Shabbos, side Rom Shabbos, side Rom Shabbos for Hesia. And there's other Tanoim that seem to hold that it's only for Hesia, but Betzina, it is Noheg. I'll call upon him. The question of greeting Avelim on Shabbos, so that Lechaira that is not considered a Dover Shabbat for Hesia. He's considering this a Dover Shabbat Tzinah. So in this particular place, they were knowing like those Tanoim that held there's no Avelis whatsoever. Well, by Dorm Shalom in the south, they used to greet the mourners on Shabbos. Okay. Rav Hoshea Ruba Azal Charasar, Rav Hoshea went to some place. He saw the mourners on Shabbos. So behind and he greeted them. On Malone, he sent to them the following. Any of them, I got from. I don't know what the minhag here is in your place. I'm going to give you shalom like the custom is where I come from. So basically, what he's doing is normally when you go to a place, you have to be knowing like the chumras of that place. So if the minhag is not to say shalom in that place, you're not allowed to say shalom. But if your minhag was that you did say shalom where the place you came from and you were ignorant of the local custom and you tell them that the reason why you're saying shalom is because you're ignorant, you make it known, then it's 100% mutter. Rabbi Yossi Barab Chalafta Meshabeach Rabbi Meir Kumitzi Puroi. So Rabbi Yossi Barab Chalafta was Meshabeach. He praised Rabbi Meir. He spoke very highly about Rabbi Meir in front of the residents of Tzipori. And he said about Rabbi Meir, Adam Gadol, Adam Kadosh, Adam Tzanua, he's great, he's holy, he's modest. Chadzman, one time, what happens? Rabbi Meir is coming. He saw the Avelim on Shabbos. And he greeted them. We're on Chavtasim and Beis. Amrin Lay, so they said to him, Ahon da'at misane shilfe. This is the person who you praised on my line. So he said to them, Maiske, what happened? What is causing you to make, say this kind of like a sarcastic remark to me? So they said to him, he went ahead and he greeted Avelim on Shabbos. He said hello to them. What kind of Arum Gadol is this? I'm aligned. So Rabbi Yossi said to them, you want to know what his strength is? In other words, you want to know why Rebbeir did this? He was telling you that there is no Avelis on Shabbos whatsoever. It says in Pasuk that the blessing of Hashem is what makes a person rich. Pashupshan is that a person shouldn't think that it's because of his grace investments. I think it says that over here. Where does it say over here? Yeah, in footnote 6. This is an important thing to know. This verse teaches that wealth comes through God's blessing, not through man's toil. Very important lesson. But that's the Pashup Shop. The Yerushalmi is saying, Zubrechas Shabbos. This is the blessing of Shabbos. Because Shabbos is the source of all blessing, right? What's it say in Lechadoidi? Hihi Makar HaBaracha, right? Next, V'lo Yosef Etzavima. You should not have any sadness to Shabbos. You shouldn't add any Shabbos. So there's no Etzav, there's no Avelis on Shabbos. That you see the word Etzav is used as a word to refer to Avelis. And so therefore, when it says Lo Yosef Etzav, it means you do not have Avelis on Shabbos. So that's basically Rabbi Yossi explaining her mayor's position. So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, in footnote 4 in second paragraph, he explains that greeting others is a private expression. In other words, that's throng shabbat sinner. Why? Parenthetically, since others are unaware of one's reasons for refraining. That's very important to understand the Gemara. That's why we're assuming, that greeting somebody is considered a davar shabbat sinner. I know that some people might be tempted to say, what do you mean, not saying hello to somebody? That's befrahesia, that we see you walking by, you're not saying hello. Why isn't that befrahesia? The answer is that, you know, sometimes a person's preoccupied and he's not greeting people. So, you know, we don't know why you're doing something, right? So that's not called frahesia. Okay. I once, you know, there's a psak like that by Loisis Gaidadu. They used to say this, that on Klamai, there are some people that don't wear a tefillin, some people that do wear a tefillin. So the people that don't wear tefillin, they tie it. That's not Loisis Gaidadu, because you don't know why they're not wearing tefillin. Maybe they're not wearing tefillin because they're chayle me'ayim. When you're chayle me'ayim, you can't wear tefillin. So we don't know why you're not wearing the tefillin. So for them, it's not Loisis Gaidadu. The people that are wearing tefillin, that could be Loisis Gaidadu. Okay, next. Kishameis Tavi Avdo. Next Mishnah, Halacha Ches. When Rabbi Gamliel's Canaanite slave, Tavi, okay, he was an Eved Canaani. When he died, Kibul Olav Tanchumen. Rabbi Gamliel accepted Tanchumen from other people, you know, Hamachim Menachem Eschem, you know, on the loss of Tavi, your slave. Omulai, so Tavidim asked him, Loi the Maratino Rabbeinu, Shein Makam Tanchumen Alavadim. You're not supposed to Makam Tanchumen on slaves of Lahem. Ain't Tavi Avdi Kishar Avadim. Kosher Hoya. He was Adam Kosher. Not only that, he was a Talmud Chacham. So let's go into this, a very interesting Gemara now. The Gemara makes a deal. Ha b'nei chorim acherim mekadam tamchum aleihem. In other words, they objected. The way he explains it is that the Talmidim seemed to only object on the fact that he was mekava tamchumin because he was a slave, but not because he wasn't related. I mean, one could simply argue, what kind of business is this? Tanchum is for a person who, Rahman al-Islam, is a relative. Where do you come to be makabal Tanchum on a non-relative? But that didn't seem to bother them, the fact that he was a non-relative. The only thing that bothered them was the fact that he was an Eved Kanani. So that's the Gemara is asking, kind of like being medayik from their objection. They had no problem if it would have been a Ben Chorin and not related. This is implied from the Chachamim of Aram Mishnah, meaning the Talmidim of Rabbi Gamliel, when they said, Ein mekam talchum al havadim. So the Gemara says, Tani, and not only that, there's a brisa that says the following, Maisa shemaisa shulchatzin shal Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Shifcha Knanis was also died. They came to be Menachem Rabbi Eliezer for Lo Kibbol, and he didn't stay to accept their Tanchum. He got up and he walked out. He walked out into the yard. They chased after him into the yard. Lebayis, then he ran into the house. And they ran after him into the house. So he said to these students. He said, I thought you would be scalded with warm water. I see you're not even scalded with hot water. In other words, you don't know how to take a hint. Don't you know they said, it must be some mimer, the Chachamim said, maybe referring to the Chachamim of our Mishnah, that we're not mekabel tamchum on avadim, because a Nebuchadnezzar is like a mehemo. So, who's saying this? I guess this is again a continuation of what Rabbi Eliezer is saying to his Talmidim. And what's more, im al b'nei chayrin acherim ein mekabel tanchumin, if other people are not mekabel tanchum, kosher ken al avadim. So. Basically, this is a kind of like more of the same argument of how come, you know, why didn't they object in a better way, so to speak? Mishameis Avdo Behemto, What should you say if someone's slave or behemoth dies? I'm a lawyer. How much of your malach has to come? Hashem should replace your loss. So this is all part of the question. This contradicts the inferred opinion of the rabbis who objected to Rabbi Gamliel's only on the basis of him being an Eved, but not on the basis that he was non-relative. That's the way the Gemara, that's why he's learning this kasha, the Gemara. Footnote 18, Stay Yoshua, whoever that is. So the Gemara says, let's go a little bit further. Kadamach Reb Chiya bar Ado bar Achseid bar Kapar. So Reb Chiya bar Ado was the nephew of Bar Kapar. He was the son of his sister. He was his nephew. So when he passed away, Kaber Rish Lakish Eloi. Rish Lakish, who was the Rebbe of this young, of this person, Reb Chiya bar Ado, the Havarabe, he was his Rebbe. And he was Makabal Tam Kulman. Nemo, so don't you see, Talmide Devar Neshoh, Chaviv Olekiv, right? You see that the Talmud, someone's Talmud, is Chaviv like his son. Is Chaviv like his son. So, Rabbi Gamliel was probably thinking, this is kind of like, it says over here, so the rabbis thought that he applied the same principle to Tavi. Since he served him so faithfully, so he treated him like a son. So they were objecting to the condolences. They didn't mention the fact that he's not a relative. This is why the only thing they raised as an issue was the fact that he was an Eved Kenani. But the fact that he was not a relative did not bother them, because we see already from the story with Rish Lakish that he was Mekabel Tanchumen on his student, who was also not a relative. That's what the Gemara tries to suggest over here. Just a second. Yeah. Okay. All the iftari life. So Rish Lakish went and eulogized Reb Chiya. And he said the following. So it says in the beginning of the pasuk, it's going to quote it in a second. Liros baganim, that's the main thing. So it starts off, do diyard legano, that my beloved has gone down to his garden. So it's a lashon yachid. Larugos habosam, fragrant spices. Liros baganim, to graze in the gardens. So lo tzarka lo do diyard legano. It should have said, meaning leros baganim. It shouldn't have said that. It should have said leros bagano. Also in the sefer of the pasuk. Why did the beginning of the pasuk start lashon yachid, and the end of the pasuk was lashon rabim? So the Gemara therefore interprets the pasuk like this: Yara dodi. That's referring to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Yara lagano zeha olam. Going into his garden is referring to Hakadosh Baruch Hu going into the world. Arugas habosem, Eli Yisrael, he's going to Klal Yisrael. The Rosh Baganim, now he's referring to something else entirely. Okay, so Gano in the beginning of the Pasuk was referring to the world. The Ganim in the second instance is referring to Umos Ha'olam, it's going to the nations of the world. Lokot Bashal Shanim is to pick roses. Elu HaTzadikim Shemasalkan Mibeinehim. It's referring to the Tzadikim that he takes away from the Jewish people. So they give the following marshal. A king had a son who was very, very beloved to him. What did he do? Not to light Bahardas, he planted an orchard. He planted an orchard with all kinds of different trees. Whenever the son was doing what his father wanted, he went around the whole world. And he collected saplings from all over the world, the nicest ones, and he planted them in the garden. So he planted them in the garden. But when he made his father angry, he would cut them all down. Listen to this. When Klal Yisrael does the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechazer b'chol ha'olam kulay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes around the entire world. V'roeh ezed tzadik v'lumois. U'mos ha'olam. He sees, he looks for righteous people among the u'mos ha'olam. This is a fascinating thing. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally is going to go around the world. He's going to find righteous people from all over, not just from Klal Yisrael, from all over. And then he gets them to become Gerim. Kagon, and we give three examples, Yisrael or Rachav. I thought there was a third one. I thought there was also Rus. And Antoninus, yeah, that's the Medrash. And the footnote one, it says that Rus and Antoninus also. Yeah, so Yisrael and Rachav are here. And they came, and Yisro became, you know, and Rochab. I mean, it's an amazing thing to me, you know. I mean, Yisro is one thing, okay? He meets Moshe Rabbeinu marries his daughter, and so on and so forth. It becomes, his descendants are members of the Sanhedrin. Rochab is really fascinating over here. So Rochab was the famous innkeeper over there. And when they came into Canaan, Yeshua sends the two spies, right? And Rochab protects them. Anyway, in the end, she converts and she marries Yehoshua. It says eight prophets descended from them. Can you imagine this? This is Rahav, who was the zona to go to, the go-to zona that everybody was mezana with. In fact, if anyone said Rahav, Rahav, they became Valkari. It's such a koyach hatoma. She married Yehoshua and had Nevi'im. It's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. But okay, get sir. So this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. This mind that what?
There's another. I think there's another midrash that says that Yehoshua never had any children.
Never had any sons. He had daughters. Sons? Yeah, he never had any sons. He had daughters.
But what does it say here? It says prophets. It doesn't say prophets. It's just
prophets that came from his daughters. So he had great grandsons. He had grandsons, yeah. When they anger him, he takes the tzaddikim from Klal Yisrael. Anyway, so that was he's trying to explain why Hashem took this particular person. Dolma, and we're going to go with some more stories over here. Dolma, another story. That Rav Chiya Bar Abba in his class, this not the more Rabbi Yosi Bar Rabbi Chalafta v'Chavrasei, Rabbi Yosi Bar Chalafta, his class is the more Rabbi Kiva v'Chavrasei, it was Rabbi Kiva, v'Yosin la'aybar reisit chos chadateino. So they were learning Torah underneath a fig tree. V'Amor dateino, so koretz v'lokit lo'im chayyam, the owner of the fig tree would get up early, and he would pick the figs off the tree. So they saw the owner of the fig tree behaving this way. So they started feeling a little self-conscious. They said to themselves, Amrin, they said to each other, Shemahu Choshdenu. Maybe he suspects us that we're going to steal figs. And that's why he comes very early in the morning to pick his figs before we can get to them. Maybe Nachlof is Mekamenu. Maybe we should change our place. Maybe we should go learn someplace else. Lamachar Asim Mori Desainosa Gabo. The next day, after they changed it, a new location until the fig tree owner came. Omar Loin, he said to them, Morai, my masters, Av Chod HaMitzvah Daveson Nehigim HaOndanimi, even the one mitzvah which you were doing with me that you were learning underneath my fig tree, but not Tumine, now you're withholding it from me. You know, come back, study under my fig tree again, right? Omar Loin, they said to him, Amrino, we thought, Dama Achashad belong. Maybe you were chashad us, that's why we moved. You know, we're sorry we moved, but you know, this is what we were thinking. Don't think that it's because we had anything against you. But Safra, so the next morning, Asai Mordo Yason, he made it known to the rabbis the real reason why he was getting up early and picking the figs. Zorcho Olav Achama Ve'asliu Tonos Yason. So what did he do? He let the sun come and beat down on the tree, and the figs became wormy. He was trying to beat the sun every morning to get the ripe figs from becoming ruined. And then the rabbis understood. Then they understood. And they drew a lesson from this fig tree. Baal HaTe'ino, the owner of the fig tree, obviously referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knows when it's time to pick the fig. He would pick it. Hashem knows when it's time to take the tzaddikim. The nimshol seems to be that he's afraid they're gonna get ruined. But we'll see in a second. So that's a second theme explaining why righteous people are taken away from the world. Kadzamach Rabbein Barabchia. Now, when the son of Rabbi Chia passed away, Arab Zeirav after Eloi, he said the following: "Musuko shnas ha'oved, shnas ha'oved." It says, "Sweet is the sleep of the laborer." Imat mahar be'yoichel. It says that whether it's a little or a lot, he will eat. Yashon inksiv kan. It doesn't say he will sleep. Yashin inksiv kan. It doesn't say he will sleep. Hello, imad harbe yochal. It says he will eat, right? So it's a little funny thing, right? Musuka shnasa oived. It sounds like the sleep of the one who's working hard by day, right? This pshuto shemekah is like this, right? The guy who's working hard all day, he's exhausted at the end of the day, and he's going to sleep in a deep sleep, right? He's going to sleep a deep sleep because he's exhausted. But then it should say, what does it mean he'll eat? It should say he'll sleep well. So therefore, the Gemara changes shnas from meaning sleep, but to meaning learning. So it means like this: sweet is the learning of he who labors earnestly in the study of Torah, whether it's a lot or a little, he will eat, meaning he will enjoy his reward in Olam Haba. So that's the parenthetic explanation of what we're trying to say here. To whom is he comparable? You have a king who hired many workers. It was one particular worker of Ahayah. He was very proficient. He worked very, very efficiently, and he got a lot done. What did he do? The Torah, he took him out of the workforce, out of the line. He took him on long paths, strolls. He went walking with him through the king's garden, so to speak. And then towards evening, so it comes, it's time to get paid. They pay the laborers every day on time, right? They came to take their schar. And the king gave everybody, including this guy, he gave him full pay, just like the rest of them, as if he had worked for 8 hours. Let's say it was an eight-hour day. He gave everybody 8 hours of pay, including this guy who only worked, let's say, 2 hours. The problem were complaining. He says, "Oh no, you're going to call him. We worked all day. He only worked 2 hours. You give him the same pay. Zelo fair, right? The king said, in 2 hours, this guy did more productivity than you did the whole day. He worked so well and so smart. So that marshal, he wanted to say on Rabbein, Kach Yoga Rabbein Batara Le'esim Mishmein Hashama. Rabbein, obviously, he must have been taken away as a young man. And in 28 years, he learned Torah. Masha Ein Talmud Vosik Yochel Lomoy B'Mei Hashana, where another Talmud couldn't even learn in 100 years. So that's why, right? That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him away. Yeah. This last thing. Yeah. So in the bottom of footnote 13, the second paragraph, he says, although it seems that Rabbon would have had cause to complain, that had he lived out the rest of his life, he could have studied the Torah more and more, but that apparently is not a good complaint. Why? Because it says, the Medrash says, that I forget the pasuk, it says exactly something, that the usher, It's that it compares the laborer to the wealthy man. In other words, the laborer works hard all day and he gets sleeps well, and the wealthy man, he's so concerned about losing his wealth that he doesn't sleep well. That's the pasuk pshat the pasuk. But what we're doing now is we're saying that the person who worked hard in learning his whole life is going to reap rewards on the olam haba. And the wealthy man, that means he's going to teach the Torah. The Torah scholars do not rest from their Torah studies after they pass in the world. Rather, they go to the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Ever and of, you know, of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov and Moshe and Aaron. They continue to grow in their Torah learning, right? So that's a very nice medrash. I like that medrash. Something to look forward to after 120 years, that there'll be more Bati Medrashas in Shemayim, which is a little bit different than normally we assume, you know, Hayom HaSoysom L'marcha L'Kavoscharom, that we assume that's only in this world that a person attains a Madrega. He doesn't go up a Madrega in the next world. There seem to be contradictory midrashim about this. So that's one comment I wanted to make about this. The second comment I wanted to make about this before we close off for the evening, because we are in the middle, almost at the bottom of Daf Lamed, so we're almost, we're well ahead, so we're in a good spot. Just wanted to talk about this one little short idea that we talk a lot about. We have a Gemara that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't count pages, he counts hours. This is a famous mimer, and I've always understood that mimer to mean that it's not so much the amount that I've learned. I mean, if I could learn a Daf Yomi, me and Chaim, we were covering a Daf Yomi sometimes in 25 minutes, we've done a whole Daf in the Dharm. So someone else spends an hour learning a daf. So who's going to get more schar, me and Chaim, or the guy who spent an hour? So that Gemara seems to indicate it's not. In a Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted dafim elishalos. Kadosh Baruch Hu is interested in how much effort you're going to put into it. But this medrash says that he learned, that gave the mushal with the worker, that he worked in 2 hours with the other workers did in a whole day, that he got paid the same amount as the other workers. That seems to say the other way around, that it really is dependent on what it is that you learned. If you learned a lot, so then that counts for something. In Lamana Tatara Harbe, Noisin Luchas Kar Harbe, like it says, right? So I just want to bring up, I want to raise this to the Olam here. If anybody has any thoughts about this, does anybody have any comments?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
The Vilna Gaon could learn all of Shas in a month, and it takes me 7 years, and he's going to get it. So he'll learn for 1 month, and that's it. And he's going to get as much schar as me for 7 years. You think that makes sense?
The Roshim created people with different, you know, mental faculties. Some people are geniuses, and you're saying they only have to learn for 5 minutes. And they're going to get as much scar as the person who learns his whole life and cracks his head and doesn't have such a good head for learning. It doesn't make sense.
I'm sorry, Shamsi, I can't hear you.
You also have a mission that says from Tzarad, based on the effort and difficult it is.
From Tzarad, correct.
Right, there are a lot of factors that go into deciding, you know, the system of Cheshbon that Akash Baruch uses. This is.
It's a combination of things, but you saw the Gemara, Joey, right?
I saw the Gemara, but it needs explaining.
Okay,
I'd like to suggest it's not the amount of learning; it's how much you accomplish. Meaning, when the king said to the guy, "Hey, you picked more the fruit than in 2 hours than the other ones did an entire day." So he's talking about accomplishment, not the effort or how much time is put in. I'll leave food for thought.
Time, the
next group is coming.
Okay, Rabbi Isaac.